about is going back to this current pandemic. I'm sure a lot of people that are getting calls and emails don't really trust the people that are emailing, calling them, or messaging them on social. What can we do to kind of build that trust, Martin?
Well, I think trust for me always comes from just having that initial conversation. And I don't really know how well, how I can explain it, or how to explain it rather. But when I have an initial conversation with somebody, there must be a trust factor that's developed, that's built. And I don't know how to explain that. I don't know if it's because of my personality, what the case is, right? But when I have a conversation with someone, 9 times out of 10, there's just kind of, it's like, you know, that's somebody I want to work with. It's someone I respect. You know, someone that inspires me. And these are not words from myself. These are words that people have actually told me. So it's not someone that would just a massive ego, because that's not who I am. So I think if you're able to demonstrate that personality on social, whether it's connecting, sending a message, whatever it might be, if you're able to demonstrate that goes a long way in just removing some of that immediate distrust.
So another thing I wanted to talk to you about is when you were with the sales developers. I kind of had the similar thing happen with my last position, but it was more like I had a relationship with somebody who introduced me, but you actually built up a relationship with one of the leaders of the sales developers. And I just wanted to get a little bit more like how you went about that, what you did to really establish whether or not it was the right fit for you. And then, you know, just how that all went about.
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. So Ryan Reisert, who was the one of the co-founders at Sales Developers, him and I connected about, I think, a year before I joined the Sales Developers. I came across Ryan's profile on LinkedIn somehow, I forget. And I connected with him. And at that time, he's running his sales development bootcamp. And he was putting out a lot of great content and video. And it was just something I really related to. So we connected and had some conversations. And basically it was that, just a conversation. And Ryan knew about my challenges. So for anyone in the audience that's not aware, I'm fully blind and I use a screen reader. So some of the automation tools, unfortunately, they just don't work well with my screen reader. So Ryan and I had a conversation around that. And he said, you know what, I'd like to bring you into our organization, but just with our technology that we're using on the client SDR side, I don't think it'd be a great fit. And I said, hey, you know what? Totally understand that. You know, it's got to be a great fit for both. I don't want to be frustrated all day long. So let's just stay in touch. And if you hear something, by all means, would appreciate a referral. And throughout my network, I had a couple of people reach out to me about sales development process, tools, messaging, so forth. I said, you know what? I know of a company that might be able to help you out, because I wasn't totally sure. I said, here, I introduced Ryan in the people. And I guess about a year later, Ryan reached out and said, hey, sent me a message on LinkedIn and say, hey, are you still looking for a role? I think I might have something for you. And I said, yeah, I am. and we jumped on a Zoom call and discussed it. And, you know, they were getting, the sales developers had received some funding, and he said, you know what, I think there'd be a fit here. And just transitioned from that.
That's really cool. That's an awesome story, and just shows the power of, you know, connecting with people and keeping that dialogue going. That's something that I've been really focused on lately, is surrounding myself with people that are in a position that I want to be in, and then, you know, building that relationship and kind of growing with them. Who are some people, Martin, on LinkedIn that you would just recommend connecting with if they want to get really great sales content and, you know, kind of hone their skills?
Oh gosh, that's a long list.
I know. Let's do top three. How about that?
Yeah, top three. I would definitely say, it's a long list, but I got to think through my memory bank putting me on the spot here of top three. I'd definitely say my good friend Dale Dupree over at the Sales Rebellion.
Yeah.
He's always putting out great content. If you're looking for outbound sales, sales development, cadences, messaging, anything top of funnel, I'd recommend Sean Cease.
Yep.
And then if you're looking for anything, marketing, anything, LinkedIn, he's been a huge kind of mentor, Daryl Perel over at Vinalsoft.
Oh yeah, he's a CMO, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he puts out some really great content. I know you were job hunting. Did you end up getting that position?
We're still working on it. We're doing kind of a soft launch, I guess you could say. So it's still in, we're still working out some details, but things are looking really promising. So once I update, definitely be posting about it on LinkedIn, but it's within the outbound sales space as well.
So one other thing, and we'll end it here soon. When you were with the sales, I found really interesting, and it was right about when I was starting to try to build my personal brand and posting a lot of videos and content on LinkedIn. Pretty much everybody in the organization had a personal organizations. Either a few people are into it, or just nobody really realizes the power. Can you just, did that happen organically, just by chance, all you guys being together at the same organization, or did you guys push each other to start building personal brand?
I think it was really, more so organically though. So we were all brought in as sales developers at different times. Obviously the co-founders, Rex and Ryan, they both had strong personal brands. And then they brought in Sean Cease, who he was doing a lot in terms of video content around top of funnel messaging. And then I have a hard time being quiet and not doing anything, so I was creating a lot of content. And then we brought in James Botten, who has a really strong personal brand, and that's someone else I'd highly recommend that people connect with and follow if you're not already, is James Botten. He's got some really great content.
Yeah, shout out to James Botten. If you want to check out his podcast, it's the Lunch Break Podcast. Definitely recommend it. I've actually appeared on it, and I know you have too, Martin.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wrap this up. I just really want to thank you, Martin, for joining us and giving us some of your time. Is there anybody aside from the three people we named earlier that you just want to shout out, and where can people find you?
There's a lot of people, so I'd be afraid of missing somebody. So I think
understandable. You don't have to if there's that many people, it's okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, because there's been a lot of people that have been supporting me for quite some time, so it'd be a little awkward to forget about them. Best spot for people to find me is on LinkedIn. You can search the Outbound Sales Guy, and you can follow that hashtag as well for some great content.
So how did that come about, the Outbound Sales Guy? When did you come up with that and decide to like brand yourself as that? Because for a while I was branding myself as the cold call enthusiast, but then I just kind of dropped that off, mainly because I wanted to focus on all aspects of sales. But what made you decide to kind of brand yourself as the Outbound Sales Guy?
Well, the reason that kind of came about was that when I was let go from the sales developers back in November, I was thinking about launching my own consultancy gig, whatever you want to call it. And I was thinking about, you know, okay, it needs to be something that stands out. Can't just be another, you know, something consultancy. And the Outbound Sales Guy just kind of really came to me. And then when I started to invest, you know, what the costs and everything associated with trying to launch that, like as a company, I just felt that it wouldn't, I wouldn't be able to invest the way that I would like in order to make it really successful. So then I pivoted and decided just to keep working on my personal brand. And, you know, it's the headline has really helped me stand out in the kind of a crowded space. So I just stuck with it.
That's awesome. I really do like, you know, branding that, because it really tells people who you are, not only who you are, but what you're trying to accomplish. You know, as the Outbound Sales Guy, that is your area of expertise, and that's the value people can get from your content. And it just kind of makes that connection.
Yeah, I really stick to the things I know well. So Outbound Sales, top of funnel, personal branding, you know, those are kind of things I stick with. Building great relationships. So you can kind of determine, you can kind of tell a trend on LinkedIn based on the content, right? I try to keep it. And this is a good tip for those who are struggling with creating content. The what's worked well for me is when I create something that's somewhat tactical or super tactical, that is really receptive. And it doesn't have to be something really expensive. It can just be, you know, maybe you came across a study or some sort of report or infographic, whatever it might be, share that, because that helps substantiate your credibility in the space. And then, you know, I'll post something that's really vulnerable to me, right? Like about me, or because that's the type of person I am. And I respect and understand that, you know, some people might struggle with being really vulnerable in putting it out there, which is okay. Like if you're not comfortable, then don't do it. However, if you do, people will engage and connect on a personal level with that type of content. And then the other type of content that I'll post is just, you know, some type of content around outbound sales development. Might be something that I was using before, you know, I came across with a prospect, but it may not be as tactical as before, right? So it's just gives you a couple of, or a few different types of content that you can think about when you're going to post something.
Sam, what are your thoughts on vulnerability? You know, posting stuff that really, I guess, would resonate with people because you're just being really open. What do you think about that?
Like, it has got many aspects. Like, give me an example.
For example, sorry to bring this up, Martin, but when it didn't work out with the sales developers, you posted something about it and you shared that struggle you were having and looking for the next opportunity. And a lot of people reacted to it and just gave you encouragement. And it was vulnerable to do that, but I think it came out in a positive way because you connected and really reached so many people with that post.
Yeah. Well, and I'll go back in the summertime. I remember I had a prospect say to me, someone in the Eastern U.S., I think it was New York or maybe Boston area. They said to me, like, you're too slow. You're not speaking fast enough. And I was like, what? What do you mean? And it was just a really terrible conversation, right? And I just posted about it. And I said in my post, the reason why that I, and you've probably noticed it a bit today, is I take a little while to think about what I'm going to say, because when I was young, really young, I had a severe speech problem. I couldn't say any of my consonants. So like that was something that was really challenging for me. And when I posted about that, like, that just blew up, the amount of engagement that it generated.
It comes basically, Ryan, to the point of, like, if we will go ahead and discuss this one psychologically, many people, like, they expose themselves online. So they come down to the point of being vulnerable. Sometimes that is a positive sign. Sometimes it has got a negative sign. Throughout what Martin stated, it depends mainly on how people look at it. Because at the end of the day, when we talk either like social or business, we're talking about people mindset. How do they understand, or what is their perception on understanding? It differs from a person to another when it comes down to understanding where is the other party coming from. I mean, like, let's say an example, like if Martin is like talking slowly, maybe this is his way and this is him, like this is the way how he is. But some people will go ahead and take this one as sometimes making fun of it, sometimes they would go hard on them, they will go tough on them because they don't like it. That's okay.
And I think to jump in here, Sam, I think that's the difference between LinkedIn and some of the other social platforms.
I was thinking the same thing.
True.
On some of the other platforms, yeah, like that type of content could really go sideways in one way or the other, right? Whereas on LinkedIn, because of the people and the personalities that are on LinkedIn, and it's the business community, I think that there seems to be more of a respect level than some of the other social platforms.
True.
It's a lot more positive than if you go on Reddit and post the same thing and see how people respond. I know from experience.
And I wouldn't say post, like, be vulnerable all the time, but people want to get to know who you are at the end of the day. But if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. You have to be really, I guess, in tune with who you are, comfortable with the person that you are, in order to be that vulnerable.
So just to wrap this up, one more question. What can people do to find their voice on LinkedIn? Like, what's the best way to kind of discover who you are and what you want to talk about and who you want to connect with?
The biggest thing is just test, and consistency.
Yeah, definitely. If you don't post consistently, you're a lot less likely to get interaction, unless you're commenting or you really built up your network. It all takes time.
That's right. And you have to figure out what suits you best. Like, for me, I'm not a real comfortable person when it comes to video, when it comes to just shooting a quick video. Like, if I'm doing a Zoom call, and I know someone's on the other end, and it's a dialogue, I have no problem. And I really notice it when I go to post something on LinkedIn with video, so I don't do it that often. Whereas I'm really comfortable with written content on LinkedIn. So that's where I'll spend most of my time is written content. But there's other people out there that do a great job with video. So it's really whatever suits you the best.
Definitely. If you're not comfortable with it, it's okay to get uncomfortable, but you gotta be realistic about it too. If you're just really weird on camera, maybe you should practice a little bit before you just drop a video.
That's right. And for my man, Jason McCahome, I never pronounce his name right. McCahome, I think it is. But that's someone that people should be following as well if you're not.
Definitely.
He always keeps reminding me about a video I did. I think it was last summer or maybe last spring. I forget which now. And I shot it on my iPad, and I didn't realize that the camera was flipped upside down. And I posted it, and it was out there, and people they let me know about it. And Jason's like, you know, we have fun with it, right? Because Jason and I have a great relationship, so he knows he can be funny about it with me. And so now all the time he just keeps reminding me about my upside down video.
It's a great way to grab the attention of the viewer and get them to watch the whole video. Just a That's different right. perspective, right?
That's right. But that goes back to being super vulnerable and comfortable with who you are, right? Because some people might post that and just want to go and bury themselves in a deep hole and not, you know, come back out. Me personally, I just, yeah. So what? It's upside down. Deal with it.
Well, it's pretty much easy and simple. Psychologically speaking as well, like, it mainly depends on one really important point, which is, it's all about self-acceptance. Once you start accepting who you are, once you start accepting your capabilities, once you start accepting what are you able to achieve, at a certain point, it will not make any difference, and it will not impact you negatively or impact anyone negatively because of whatever will be said. Because once you start in a job such as in sales, one of the most important key factors in here, or the most important key player in here, is self-confidence. And self-confidence is generated by self-acceptance. Once you have that confidence that you're able to do things regarding who you are, like regardless whatever you whatever defect you have got, whatever issue that you have got, regardless whatever negative part that you have got, once you start believing in yourself, this is when you start seeing things happening. Because like anyone who's working in sales, they are exposed to get whatever statement from the other side. It might be sometimes positive, it might be sometimes negative, even if we are dealing with a C-suit level. Sometimes people go hard on people. Sometimes people go tough on people. I mean, even like if you go ahead and talk about the management level, sometimes we deal with respectful and decent people. Sometimes we deal with I don't want to say rude people, but I would say impolite people. Sometimes we go with like people who do understand. Sometimes we go with people who would like it. The other part will not like it. But at the end of the day, it's all about who you are. What do you believe in? Do you trust yourself or not? Do you have self-confidence or not? Do you have that energy inside of you that you can generate, convincing yourself that you are able to do things? People always believe that it's what, but it's not always what, it's how. Like, I know what to do, but how to do it? How can I trust myself? How can I have self-confidence? How can I accept myself? How can I love myself? how can I appreciate what do I have? Ryan, remember that last time that when I told you, like, everyone on this planet is gifted, but when that gift will be useful is once you discover what gift you have got.
And how to use it.
And how to use it at the same time. Because once you figure out like what is your gift, definitely, like, automatically, it's a plug and play thing, like with any human. Like, once you discover that one, you will understand exactly that you have something which is unique, something which is special about you. This is when you start moving.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Really powerful.
And that's why, like I was saying earlier, I don't have a huge ego, right? I'm honestly a very humble individual, but I'm very confident with who I am, and that's what allows me to take so many risks and put myself out there, right? So, at the end of the day, you gotta believe in yourself. You have to be comfortable with you. And till you are, no one else will be.
How's the saying go? Comfortable in my own skin? Something like that?
That's right.
Cool. Martin, really appreciate you, especially our first guests. I appreciate your patience. We're still learning how to do all this. Sam, thanks for your time too.
You're welcome, Ryan. And I do appreciate Martin's presence. It really made me happy. It got me to understand who he is. And Martin, you know what? With whatever you do, whatever you're going through, keep your head up. You can do whatever you want to do. Keep the self-confidence. Trust yourself. You know what? Like, what I like about what you have said, everything, like, I love your self-acceptance. Like, I really like it. Like, not a lot of people like you, but be a model to get people to be like you. That's what I want you to do.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Martin.
So, this is the Daily Sitch. We're going to sign off. Until next time, I'll see you guys then. Okay, we can unrecord now.